Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon. We're continuing our walk through the book of Luke, and today we're looking at Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, which read, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to them, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1986, a New Jersey woman named Karen was on her way to a meeting in New York City. On her way to the train station, she saw a bag lady sitting on a bench. Karen had passed this woman before, but that day something about her touched Karen's heart. She went across the street, brought a sandwich, and brought it back to the homeless woman. When she tried to give the woman the sandwich, the woman grabbed not the sandwich, but Karen's hand. You see, this homeless woman was hungrier for human interaction. As Millie explained to Karen, when you are homeless, you become invisible, because people hope that if they don't make eye contact, they do not have to become involved. They can ignore the person and the situation at hand. But Karen was now involved. She now noticed more of the homeless people living on the streets. But what could one person do? Well, Karen and her two sons decided to make sandwiches and hand them out to the homeless people. Every other Sunday, they made about 100 sandwiches and brought them to New York's Port Authority bus terminal. She soon learned their stories. She realized that homelessness can happen to anyone. But what could one person do? Well, Karen went to the religious community. Despite no training in social work or nonprofit management, within 10 months, she developed a network of 11 area congregations to provide hospitality space within their buildings to homeless families. Her network, Family Promise, now operates in 43 states with 200,000 volunteers from 6,000 congregations and organizations. They have served over 1 million people in need. The local networks provide temporary housing, meals, and needed services for homeless families. And 82% of the families through those programs have secured sustainable housing within 9 weeks of entering the program. All because a woman named Karen took the time to acknowledge a woman named Millie living on a train station bench. In today's gospel, Jesus tells of a rich man who is living a good life. He dresses in Armani suits, he has a personal gourmet chef, and lives in a gated compound. Jesus also tells us about Lazarus. This man was not living. This man was barely surviving. We're told that every day Lazarus lay outside the rich man's gate, hoping for some help, for something to eat, for some kind of mercy. Now, the original Greek verb used here is a passive verb, implying that the friends of Lazarus laid him at the rich man's gate because the rich man was the one in their community with the resources to help. The other possibility for this verb is a divine passive, which would mean that God laid Lazarus at the rich man's gate. This would equate to a beggar standing at a stoplight with us watching him from the other side of the rolled up windows on our air-conditioned car. Did you notice that this destitute man has a name, but the rich man does not? There are so many parables where the main characters are unnamed. A Syrophoenician woman, a man born blind, the Good Samaritan, tax collectors, sinners, a prodigal son, lepers. People who are considered unimportant to a community do not have memorable names. But in this parable, Jesus chooses to give Lazarus a name and to let the rich man remain nameless. In fact, Lazarus is the only character in any of Jesus' parables who's given a name. Once again, Jesus is turning things upside down. The poor are not faceless people with no stories. The poor are real people with names, identities, and a history. They are not statistics, they are human beings. They are not an economic category, they have names. Lazarus had been someone's baby boy. He may have been a brother, a husband, a father. He once had hopes and dreams. He had pain and disappointments, and he was beloved by God. Both men die. Lazarus finds himself in heaven at the bosom of Abraham. He's finally receiving the comfort and mercy he never saw while alive. The rich man, however, could not have had it worse. He finds himself tormented in the bowels of hell. Did you notice what verse 24 says? The rich man called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." The rich man recognizes Lazarus and even knows his name. He had seen the poor man lying at his gates. He had seen the dogs licking the sores on Lazarus. He heard Lazarus begging for mere crumbs. He knew he was there. He knew his name, and he chose not to act. He chose to withhold mercy. Now, even, the rich man treats Lazarus like a servant. He practically commands Abraham to send him down with a drop of water for his comfort, and then asks that Lazarus be sent to warn the rich siblings. Even after his death, even in hell, the man cannot shake his sense of self-importance. He still fails to treat Lazarus as a person, an equal, as one deserving compassion. Still, he does not repent. Still, he does not talk to Lazarus. The name Lazarus means God is my help. In fact, God was the only help Lazarus had. If one of you listening to me today is a poor man or a poor woman who feels overlooked by society, who cannot get your basic needs met, hear what Jesus is saying here. If you are the nameless person, but you remain faithful, your reward will be rich in heaven. Because Jesus knows your name. Jesus sees you. And he will receive you as his own. As we read in Psalm 146 today, the Lord remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. When the rich man realizes his afterlife circumstances are not going to improve, he asks Abraham to send Lazarus back to earth to warn his five siblings to change their ways, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replies, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. They have the Old Testament law. They have prophets like Amos and Micah who rebuked the selfishly rich people of Israel. These messages were recorded to serve as a warning to future generations. If they won't listen to the voices of Scripture, they will not listen to a dead man like Lazarus who will tell them the same thing." People, we are the rich man's brothers and sisters. We have responsibilities for those in need. The parable pushes us to see the suffering of the poor, to see the poor and the sick as people with names and identities and history. It pushes us to reach out while we are still living to try to make things right. We are the rich man's brothers and sisters. We have the law of Moses. We have the prophet. What's more, we have the gospel. And God sent a man back from the dead to awaken us. He sent Jesus back from the grave to speak to us. Yet one out of every five children in the United States lives in poverty. Children in shelters make up 58% of the homeless population, and nearly half are under age 6. We have Moses. We have Jesus. Do we listen to what they say? What kind of lives will we lead? In this parable, Jesus asks what we will do with the knowledge we have from the Word of God. If you're asking, what can I do? What should I do? Well, I have an idea. Few needs are greater than the need for clean water. And I did a little research this week. More than 800 children under the age of 5 die every day from contaminated drinking water. Around the world, 1 in 10 people do not have access to clean, safe water. 90% of the funds donated to World Vision go directly to those who need the help. For $1,000, we can help World Vision provide 2 communities with clean drinking water. And I think we can do this. You can give by writing a check and writing the word water in the memo spot. I have placed some old offering envelopes in the sanctuary for cash gifts. Just write the word water on the outside of the envelope. To our brothers and sisters watching online, please join us in this project. You may give directly by mailing your gift to the church. We will post the address at the end of this message. Or you may donate through Givelify or by using PayPal. Realize that Givelify does keep a percentage of it. Together, our little community can offer a drink of water in the name of God to those in need. Love of God and neighbor are the only riches that count. And let us share that abundance, our abundance, while still here, while there is still time. Thanks be to God. Amen.